Let me invite you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. Matthew 12:40 says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ was direct, and it was emphatic. I have stated before that this prophecy was emphatic because in three different ways he emphasized the fact that it was going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. First of all, the Lord made it emphatic by the fact that he reversed word order. The normal Hebrew word order, the normal Jewish word order, would have been three nights and 3 days. After all, the day begins with the evening. We're just about to usher in Monday evening. It's just about Monday evening. Jewish day begins at night because that's the way that God made the day. God made the day as evening and morning. It's translated in our Bibles as the evening and the morning were the first day. Night and day were the first day. Night and day were the second day. Night and day were the third day. And folks, it never changed from night and day to day and night. So that when the Jewish person expresses himself by using in reverse word order, he's expressing emphasis that this is emphatic. It must be 3 days and three nights. It were as if he had said in English, as if it were stated in English as, "I'll be in the grave 3 nights and 3 days." By reversing word order, it makes it emphatic. Secondly, it was emphatic because he said it twice. He says, "As Jonah was in the grave 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." It was now doubly emphatic by the repetition. He repeated himself. Then it was triply emphatic because it wasn't enough to just say 3 days and nights. The Lord said 3 days and three nights, making it now triply emphatic. Reverse word order, duplication of the phrase day and night, and then duplication of the word three. 4 times he stated the word three. As Jonah, 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man, 3 days and three nights. This is triply emphatic. Our Lord could not have possibly made it any more emphatic than what he did. There is no way that you can come out with 3 days and three nights if the Lord died on a Friday night. It's impossible. Friday night, Saturday day, and Saturday night don't add up to 3 days and three nights. It adds up to 1 day and two nights. That's all. Our crazy ideas, folks, in English, that the day begins at midnight was never anything that was accepted by the Jewish people. Jewish day never began at midnight. Jewish New Year doesn't begin at midnight. It begins at sundown. Jewish days don't begin at midnight. They begin at sundown. Everything in Judaism is framed around the idea that as soon as the sun goes down, it's the next day. And unless we understand the scriptures from a Jewish point of view, we will not understand them. We'll come up with an error every time. Now, part of that error is based when they talk about the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to take a look at what the scriptures have to say about the burial of Jesus Christ. I will ask you to turn to Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter, but I'm going to actually start with Matthew 27. But so as to not have you looking through your Bible back and forth and so forth, just open to Luke chapter 23. It says in Matthew 27, 57 to 61, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a linen cloth, literally a sheet, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. In Mark's gospel, it says in chapter 15, verses 42 and 47, and now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, this is where some of the confusion comes. Many, many people read that and say, okay, this is Friday, the day before the Sabbath. Well, no. This was the day before Passover, which was an automatic Sabbath. The day before Passover is always, or the Passover is always a Sabbath. So the day before would always be referred to as either the day before a high Sabbath or the day before the Passover Sabbath. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone into the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Now, in both Matthew and Mark, it tells us that the two Marys were there, and they saw everything. What they tell us is also agreed to by Luke. Luke says in Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 56, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented unto the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen, again, a sheet. All three gospel accounts agree that the burial of Jesus was the work of one solo individual. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. They all agree that he wrapped the body of Jesus Christ in a linen cloth, in a sheet. And then it says, and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. It was an unused sepulcher. Of course, Matthew's gospel tells us that it was Joseph's sepulcher that he had just dug out of a rock himself. The other two gospel accounts tell us it was a new sepulcher, but don't tell us that it was Joseph's. Nonetheless, they all agree this was the work of one individual, and his name was Joseph, who was of Arimathea. And they all tell us that this burial was rushed. It was rushed because the Sabbath drew on. That we find in verse 54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. It was getting close to sundown. The Lord Jesus Christ had died at somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Joseph had begged the body, and now finally had the body and was burying it. It was close to about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was getting close to this Sabbath day, to this Sabbath day, which was a high Sabbath. It was the Passover. Now, Joseph buried the body. And verse 55 agrees again with another detail that Matthew and Mark both told us. It says, "And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid." How was his body laid? How many men buried the body? One man. How did they bury it? They wrapped him in what? In a linen cloth and a sheet. He hurriedly buried it. It was without aromatic spices. It was without the linen strips that were characteristic of the way that the children of Israel buried someone that they loved. It was as if he had been thrown in a hefty garbage bag and laid in the tomb. It had that kind of a repulsive feeling to these ladies. He was not buried properly. This was a shame. This was something that they could not tolerate. It was something that embarrassed them, that a man that they loved was being buried in such a way as to say no value was placed on his life. When earlier today I talked about the fact that he had been sold for 30 pieces of silver, and the Bible even says that God's heart attitude was, that's the value that they place on the Lord? 30 pieces of silver? It cries out for some sort of justice. Now they bury him in an improper way, showing no respect whatsoever for him. And my Savior deserved much better than that. He didn't deserve to be thrown into a grave hurriedly wrapped in a sheet. He deserved to have been buried properly, to be mourned, to have had this done in the proper fashion. But he wasn't. Right up to his burial, we showed that he was a man despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, the women could not allow this to happen. And so the Bible says in verse 56, "And they returned," the women returned, "and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." Okay, here comes an important question. They went home, they bought the spices, and then they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Did they buy the spices before the Sabbath day or after the Sabbath day? I'm requiring you to reason what the scriptures say here. Did they buy the spices before the Sabbath day or after the Sabbath day? Before. Are we all in agreement? How many say before? How many say after? How many say I'm still asleep? Okay. I knew it. Because when it says they bought the spices and then they rested the Sabbath day, it's obviously telling you they bought the spices before the Sabbath. Are we in agreement now? They bought the spices before the Sabbath. This is an important point. Don't forget it. They bought the spices before the Sabbath. Now, it has an interesting note here. It says they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Well, the Ten Commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20. What Sabbath day is according to the commandment? Saturday, the seventh day, the Shabbat, the Sabbath. Now, listen, if they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment, what is that automatically telling you? Because it's telling you something besides the fact that they rested on Saturday. There was another Sabbath day that wasn't according to the commandment. Why specify that it was the Sabbath day according to the commandment if this is the only Sabbath day that there ever is? Do you understand my point? I don't need to say, and they rested the Sabbath according to the commandment, if the only Sabbath day that there exists is the Sabbath according to the commandment. This specifies which Sabbath day it was, and therefore it's telling us that there was another Sabbath day. And they're not wanting to confuse you. They're telling you the Sabbath that they rested was the Sabbath according to the commandment because the other Sabbath was already long gone. What was the other Sabbath? The other Sabbath was Thursday, the Passover. The Passover is automatically a Sabbath. So as not to confuse you, they say, okay, they rested the Sabbath according to the commandment. The Sabbath is according to the commandment. That's the one that they rested. Because the Sabbath that's not according to the commandment, but is automatic according to the fact that it is the Passover, that one's already out of discussion. It's already passed. Now, how many men buried the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? One man. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. We find that also in John's gospel. We've looked at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and now John. How did that song go? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What's that? I'm too old to remember, and you're too young to know it, right? Okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to look at John now. John chapter 19. Honey, you remember the song, don't you? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How did the song go? No? Okay. You're too old to remember too. John's Gospel, John chapter 19, verse 38. It says, John 19, 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Now, up to this point, all four gospel accounts are in agreement. Joseph buried the body of the Lord Jesus. He buried him in a linen sheet without spices. The women saw it. They saw how his body was laid and where it was laid. And they knew that this was not right. The women then left to go buy spices. But they never saw then what it's going to tell us as you go further into this passage. Because it tells us now in verse 39, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen strips, literally, linen clothes, it says, linen strips, with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, folks, we have a detail here that didn't exist in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And the detail is that after Joseph buried the body, and very clearly, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us that this was very late. It was just about at the beginning already of the high Sabbath of Passover. And they hurriedly buried the body. He hurriedly buried the body. But now it tells us that Nicodemus also came, and they buried the body. And now it's not in a sheet, and it's not without spices. It's according to the way he was supposed to be buried. It says, in linen clothes or linen strips with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. He was buried exactly the way he was supposed to be buried. Now, if the women had seen this, they wouldn't have gone out and bought more spices. Do you remember how much the spices cost? Remember that, what's that? 300 denarius. It's a whole year's wages. A whole year's wages. It cost a lot of money. They wouldn't have gone out and spent this money again if they had known that Nicodemus had already gone out and bought spices. But when did they have time to do this? Now, just a moment. Let's suppose for a moment. When I say let's suppose for a moment, I'm going to give you what is called a statement that is contrary to fact. That is, I'm going to suppose an error and see if the error could be proven true by the facts. If Jesus had died on Friday and been buried on Friday night, and the women had to rest the Sabbath, when did they have time to go buy the spices? Because it says that they bought the spices before the Sabbath. Well, they were at the foot of the cross all day. And in fact, they were with the Lord's body all the way up till the moment that Joseph rolled a big stone in front of it. You remember? And they sat there and watched, and they saw how he was buried. When did they have time? Because if they had to rest the Sabbath, but they bought them before the Sabbath, then they'd have had to buy them on Thursday before they even knew that Jesus was going to die on Friday. They had to be prophets to have gone out and bought the spices ahead of time, believing that Jesus was going to die on Friday, when even the disciples didn't know that yet. Because all day Friday, they were at the foot of the cross, if he died on Friday. And when did Nicodemus buy the spices? And when did he and Joseph of Arimathea go and bury the body correctly, when the Bible tells us very clearly that what the women saw was the sun going down and Jesus was being buried incorrectly? If that was Friday, they couldn't go Saturday. It was the Sabbath day. Not only could they not go on Saturday, they wouldn't have found a business open on Saturday where they could have gone and bought the spices and the linen strips. And it's not like you keep a storehouse with burial spices and linen strips in it just in case somebody should die. You would have had to have obtained these. When I explained this to my mother, do you know what her comment was to me? My old Jewish mommy. She looked at me and she said, I never could understand how he could have died on a Friday, because the whole story made no sense to me about how they were able to bury him knowing that the Sabbath day was coming, and no good Jew ever wants to die on a Friday because no one then has time to bury you. And they have to wait till after the Sabbath to bury you. And she said, it never made any sense to me. She says, what you're explaining to me now makes sense. Let me tell you, any Jewish person reading the Bible and hearing that Jesus died on a Friday, it makes no sense to them. The whole thing becomes confusing. And the men that wrote this were Jewish. They weren't confused about it. Amen? They were trying to tell us what happened. And if we're confused, it's because we're not understanding, not because they were confused and couldn't figure out what to say. They're not contradicting each other. They're in agreement. So what happened? Nicodemus, who was a member of the Sanhedrin, he was there when Jesus was condemned. He voted against it, says he was not in agreement with them, neither was Joseph of Arimathea. The two of them were dissenting votes in the Sanhedrin. At least we know that there were two that made the vote non-unanimous. The two of them got together afterward. Joseph said, "I'll go get the body. You go buy the spices." On that Wednesday that Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus bought the spices. And Joseph went and got the body, wrapped it in a linen cloth, waiting for Nicodemus, but Nicodemus didn't make it in time. Joseph then buried the body. It's getting late. He can't touch this cadaver. It will make him unclean. He can't be touching a dead person. He has to go home now and ceremoniously wash so that he can celebrate the Passover. He places Jesus' body in the tomb. He knows that Nicodemus has bought the spices and the linen strips. He rolls the rock in front of it. He takes no time to talk with the women about his plans. After all, who would ever imagine that they were going to go out and do something when he already knew that Nicodemus was taking care of it? He didn't see that the women were also worried about this and would go out and buy the spices. He hurries home. The Passover passes. The next day is Friday. Friday, he goes with Nicodemus back to the tomb. Now it's been one day that Jesus has been in the tomb, improperly buried. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea take his body out. They carefully now put the spices where they're supposed to be and wrap him like a mummy, all the way from his feet, all the way up to his head, but not covering his face, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And there they laid a cloth upon his face. They rolled the stone back and they went home. Now, Jesus was buried twice. If that surprises you, let me tell you, he would have been buried three times. But the women missed it by that much. Just got there a little too late. Why, if they had taken the subway, they'd have made it on time. But going on foot, carrying 100 pounds of spices and the linen strips, they couldn't possibly make it there in time because Jesus arose the first hour of Sunday, first day of the week, which, by the way, we call Saturday night at about 6 o'clock. Now we come to this because there is no other way that we can explain the two burials when the Bible makes it very clear that Joseph of Arimathea alone buried the body and it was late. It was already beginning to be the next day, this high holy day, this Passover. Furthermore, we know the women didn't see this burial. The burial that they saw is recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Only John tells us about this burial, but all the gospel accounts agree. When they went back to the grave and they saw what was left there after the resurrection, not a one of them saw the sheet. All the gospel accounts tell us that they saw the linen strips still in the form of a body, as if his body had escaped out of it. Therefore, they knew it wasn't grave robbers. Grave robbers don't take the time to rewrap all the linen strips and put them back in place. They knew he wasn't stolen out by the disciples, because when they looked at the linen strips, they realized they were still in their place. If the disciples had overcome the Roman guard, like the Roman guard was told to say in their lie, they would have just taken the body with the linen strips and everything, right? They wouldn't have unwrapped it, stolen the body, and rewrapped all the linen strips and put them back there. And they found the napkin that was laid over his face, rolled up and placed beside the grave, beside the his place in the tomb. Yeah. There is no doubt, folks, that all the gospels agree that what they saw was linen strips, not a sheet. So all of them recognize that something happened between the time that Joseph wrapped him hurriedly in a sheet and laid him in there and Resurrection Sunday. Something had happened in between, that now there were linen strips instead of this sheet that he had been buried in. What a marvelous account the Bible gives us. Because even though we have to put all four gospel accounts together to understand it, once we put them all together, it makes a perfect picture. A picture of a literal resurrection of Jesus Christ, because his burial was also according to the scriptures. Let me point out another detail. We have the third burial, that is, the women's burial. We mentioned that the women bought the spices and rested the Sabbath day. They bought the spices when, therefore? They bought the spices when? Before or after the Sabbath day according to the commandment? Before. Nonetheless, the Bible says in Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, what many point to and say is a contradiction. And if you have Jesus dying on a Friday, this is a contradiction. But it becomes a contradiction only because you placed his death and burial on the wrong days. Otherwise, it's not a contradiction. But Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Okay, did they buy the spices before or after the Sabbath? After. Now understand this. We already saw in Luke 23:56, if you want to put down where the other reference was, Luke 23:56, we've already seen that they bought the spices before the Sabbath, but there it specified, and it said the Sabbath according to the commandment, which was Saturday. They bought them before Saturday. But here it says that after the Sabbath, they bought sweet spices to go bury him again. That would mean, folks, that the women went on Sunday. If he died on Friday, they went on Sunday to buy the spices, and they couldn't have gone to bury him then till Monday, by the time they prepared all the spices and all. That contradicts the scripture. The only way that it could be before the Sabbath according to the commandment, which would mean on Friday, is if there was another Sabbath that they bought them after that Sabbath, which was Thursday, the Passover. Thursday was the Passover. That was the Sabbath. They waited through that Sabbath. They went and bought the spices, but it was already too late by the time they prepared the spices, and they had to wait through the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now they went Sunday finally. He's been dead 3 days. You remember what they said about Lazarus? By this time he stinketh because he's been dead 3 days. Okay? Do you realize that what the women expected to have to do was have somebody help them move the stone? That was one of their biggest worries. They went on the road. They're talking about it all the way as they're traveling on the road going toward the sepulcher. And they say, who's going to move the stone for us? The stone was way too heavy for these women to move all by themselves. And as they approach the sepulcher, they're carrying this heavy weight. They expected that somehow they were going to have to try to find at night somebody who would move the stone for them. And having moved the stone, would go in there and help them get the body out. Then they were going to have to take the sheet off and now put spices on him and rewrap him with him smelling already. That's what they expected. That's exactly what they were prepared for, knowing that they had waited 3 days. But not only did they not find him in the sepulcher, he had already been buried the correct way. Now, folks, this doesn't even take into account the fact that what the women didn't know about the burial of Joseph and Nicodemus, it also doesn't take into account yet that they didn't know about the Roman guard and the sealing of the sepulcher. The women had no idea about that either. But let's just ask ourselves for a moment, because this is for some other study sometime. If the Roman guard was going to be placed, you remember that the Jewish leaders asked that a Roman guard be set. If Jesus died on a Friday, Saturday was the Passover then, when were they going to go and ask for a Roman guard? Could they go in on Saturday, also being Passover, a high Sabbath? Could they go in and request a guard be set? Absolutely not. They were under commandment from Exodus chapter 12 that they were to do nothing of work on that day. Which means that they couldn't have gone in until Sunday to ask for a Roman guard. And if the Roman guard went on Sunday, it was already too late. He had already resurrected. Do you understand that? You don't have time to put the Roman guard in place if he died on Friday. Now, if he died on Wednesday, then the Jewish leaders had to rest on Thursday. That was Passover. That gave them Friday to go in and request a guard. The guard was then set. By the way, they said that it be set against the third day, because they understood Jesus' prophecy that he was going to rise in 3 days. They weren't worried about it on Thursday, as they would not have been worried about it on Saturday if he had died on Friday. And the Roman guard was there when Jesus rose from the dead. And when they went back, their story was it was at night. At night. Folks, the Bible is consistent all the way through if we would just understand it. Because what the Bible tells us here is a story of our Savior, how he died in our place. And when the Apostle Paul repeats this story, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to what? According to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again." Do you realize that the burial is a part of the gospel message? "And that he was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures." Now, folks, if we don't follow the Scriptures, if we're going to follow tradition, then what are we saying about our gospel message? Is our gospel message built on the Scriptures? Even if the Scriptures are not popularly understood for what they say? Or are we going to follow the Scriptures even when it's not popular? Even when Catholic tradition tells us that he died on Friday? But I would say, what other tradition do you know of that got it right when it came to interpreting the Scriptures? This is far too important, folks. Our very salvation is dependent upon the gospel. And the gospel puts as one of the key elements, "and was buried." Let's pray.